Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you so much for listening to this show, for sharing the show with a friend. This show is part of the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Go over to, temporarily, crosspolitic.com, soon to be the flfnetwork.com, and go be a member. Go check out all the great benefits that you can get. You can get discounts on merchandise, exclusive content, media, shows, music, tons of stuff. And David's working really hard to be putting out a lot of other great stuff. So consider coming alongside of us and supporting us by becoming a member. If you go over to crosspolitic.com, soon to be the flfnetwork.com, and you put in HGBT in the memo field, you'll get one of these sweet mugs. My wife was just drinking out of one this morning, and she said, you know, you always talk about how it fits your big hands perfectly, but I really like it with my tiny little hands as well. So if you have big or small hands, this mug is for you. And it holds a lot of fluid, like 15 ounces. You can put coffee in it. You can put tea in it. You can put whiskey if you're doing a podcast in it. I'm just kidding. It's water. Also, this show is brought to you by 24/7 QBO. They offer white glove customer service to help you with all of your QuickBook needs. It's getting around tax season. You might be a little flustered with how your QuickBooks is set up. Maybe your numbers aren't adding up correctly. These guys will give you white glove customer service, and they will come alongside and help you as you are trying to figure out all of your tax information and your financials for your business, for your individual needs, whatever QuickBook issues you have, these guys are for you. So go check them out in the link and help support them as they help support the show. If you want to reach out to me, if you have any questions about our business plan contest, or you want a show topic for us to discuss, if you have any questions about maybe the show today, when what we're going to be talking about, which is the Federal Reserve is the Obamacare for our economy. I bet that's really controversial. I don't know, but it's based off an article I read that we'll get into in a little bit. So if you have any questions about economics, business, whatnot, feel free to reach out to me. I love hearing from you guys. I love talking with you. If you have any questions about that business plan contest, I'd love to hear from you too. I really hope that you are considering doing it. It's the first step in the starting your business, and it's a cost-free step. All it costs is your time, which I guess it's not cost-free, but it doesn't cost any money. You can do it yourself and just putting in that sweat equity and really discover to see if you have a viable business. Or, like I've said before, if you are working for a big company, you have no desire to start a small business, and you just want to learn more about your big company, you could do a business plan on your big company too. That works as well. I'm going to take the best business plan, and whoever I pick gets a bag full of swag. They also call that a swag bag, full of HGBT stuff. And you'll get an interview on the show, and we'll talk about your business plan, the good, the things I liked about it, what excites me about it, and why I picked it. It's basically free advertising, which is a great thing to have when you're first starting a business. So get that business plan to me at Matt at How to Build a Tent before March 31st. Man, January is almost gone. Time flies. This year is 1 month down almost. I guess it is. This is coming out tomorrow, which would be the first. So yeah, we're 1 month down. Congratulations on making it through the first month of the year. All right, so today we are going to talk about the Federal Reserve and an article I read and just kind of the sentiment that I've been feeling from the news yesterday of what the Federal Reserve came out and said. Yesterday, the Dow closed 435 points up. The S&P was up 1.5% or 1.56%. The NASDAQ was up 2.2%, and payrolls were up. This is really good news. I don't know if you heard of this. It's up 38,000 above expectations for the month. They were expecting 178,000 payroll jobs added, and it turned out to be 213. So that's really good news. Apple and Boeing had a really great earnings report that just really helped just the market in general. Man, Apple really... They came out with how they have $245 billion in cash. That is unfathomable. I can't imagine what it's like to have $245 billion of cash on hand. And so their stock went skyrocket, which really just put a little kink in my options game because I kind of shorted them. I thought I could read the tea leaves and I thought that they were gonna have a bad earnings report and they were gonna go, you know, the stock market was gonna plummet, and it went the exact opposite direction. So you win some and you lose some, I guess. And then Boeing, of course, which I love me some Boeing, and they actually really helped me out. And then Northrop Grumman, that one did really well for me yesterday. So it was a mixed bag for me yesterday in the stocks. We've been talking about that. If you haven't seen our last three shows on investing and you're looking to get an investment, I really encourage you to check it out. But the reason yesterday that the stock market did so well was not because of the economy news. It was good. Not because of earnings reports. They were all mostly pretty good, driven by Apple, driven by Boeing. But it was because of the Federal Reserve and what they said about how they were going to set interest rates. It really didn't have to do with the health of the economy. It really didn't have to do with the fundamentals of the stocks that we are buying and selling on the public stock exchange. But what a group of economists at a privately held bank, unelected, unaccountable to the public, because of their notes and their speech that they gave, impacted the worth of tons of companies, tons of portfolios, 401ks, retirement funds, all because of what a group of centrally planned bank, a private bank, decided to say and decided to do to the economy. And that really just struck a chord with me yesterday. Yeah, it really helped my investments. It really pulled me up. It really pulled up a lot of people, and it was a really good day. But if you remember, not so long ago, in December, the Fed said they were going to continue raising rates, and the stock market crashed. And I was just thinking about that, the highs and the lows, the good and the bad. We are beholden to a group of economists. And that's not American. That's not freedom. That's not independence. That's dependence. We are all waiting, salivating, guessing, not how our companies are going to perform. Well, we are hopefully doing that too. But the biggest driver was what were a group of economists going to do. I'm going to get that right one of these days. And that really made me sad, because we have really changed from where we were. I mean, the Federal Reserve has been around for over 100 years. 1913, I believe, is when they were founded. Our country didn't always revolve around the notes of economists. We weren't beholden to what a group of men were going to do. But Woodrow Wilson decided that we needed to have a centrally planned economic system where we have a group of people that it looks out for the common good, that was going to end poverty, that was going to keep banks from failing. And we know how well they've done. The Great Depression 20 years later, the Great Recession not so long ago, and all of the stuff in between. And that's what one of these articles then from the American Thinker, I don't know too much about this publication, but it seems like they're kind of conservative. This article is definitely conservative. And the article is called The Federal Reserve's Century of Failures. And he has a lot of good points in this that I want to dive into. I wish he kind of went in a little more deep and compared recessions and scares or crises, if that's the plural of that, with before the Fed came into play and then after. But he does compare inflation, which is really interesting and impactful and relevant to the success of us individually and as a nation. Inflation impacts our debt payments. It impacts our interest rates. It impacts our ability to buy and sell, because we have the ability to have credit, and based on that interest rate is going to determine how much we can buy and sell. And also, inflation is a tax on your savings, because inflation eats away at the money that is being held in your savings account. And most of the time, I think all the time, I can say this with certainty. Inflation is always higher than the interest rate that you are getting paid to hold your money in a savings account. So that is how it is, a tax on your savings. So I went and I read this article, and then I went to the Federal Reserve website because they make this really big claim that Obamacare was rolled out on the 100th anniversary of the Fed. I mean, that's not a claim, that's what happened. And they're saying it's fitting and making the claim basically that Obamacare is the same thing in healthcare as the Federal Reserve was designed for the economy. And it's very fitting that it came out 100 years on the 100-year anniversary in 2013, which is applicable. I mean, the Fed, like Obamacare, was created by a progressive socialist. The Fed, like Obamacare, was designed to be centrally planned to determine prices. That's what they do. They control interest rates, which all that is a price of money. That's what Obamacare tries to do, and they both fail at that. Basically, both of them are telling you how to handle your personal lives, one in the healthcare, one in finance. And I was thinking about these comparisons between the two, and I went over to the Federal Reserve website, and they said they have five functions, and I'll just read these to you, of what the Federal Reserve does and why it exists. Remember, this is a private entity. The people are not voted on. The president gets to pick from a group of people the Federal Reserve puts forward for him to pick from. It's not even a person. He gets to pick whoever he wants. It's a group of people the president is told he can pick from, which right there should be a warning flag as well. These are the five functions. The first is to use monetary policy to promote max employment, stable prices, and moderate long-term interest rates. If you think back over the last 100 years, does that characterize our economy? Do you think that the Federal Reserve has done a good job with that? Second, to promote the stability of the financial system. I mean, I think we can all say that stability has not been a characteristic of our financial system of late. I mean, not just 2008, but the dot-com boom before that with Jimmy Carter. I mean, there's been a lot of terrible times. Now, granted, it's not all the Fed's responsibility. It's not all on the monetary policy of our country. The fiscal policy has a big play to do in it as well. But these are the goals of the Federal Reserve. So third, promote safety and soundness of individual financial institutions. And I don't think the bailouts really helped with that, do you? And then number four, foster payment and settlement system safety and efficiency. Promote consumer protection and community development. It's a very interesting one. Promote consumer protection and community development. That goes again into the nanny state, the progressive mindset that we need people to control us and to tell us what's good and bad for us. We cannot make our own decisions as an individual with our private property, our cash, and how we invest our private property. That is not for us to be left alone with. We can't be trusted with our own money. In other words, you can't be trusted with freedom. And that is the mindset. That is one of the biggest differences between progressive and libertarians or conservatives, the constitutionalists, which is ironic because mostly constitutionalists, conservatives are Christians who believe man is evil and sinful. And the progressives who don't think you can be left alone to your own devices thinks man is naturally good, which is kind of funny when you think about it. So those are the five functions of the Federal Reserve. And I have to say, I agree with this article and thinking about it and going through it, that they have done a terrible job. So not only is it sad, is it pathetic that we're like lapdogs waiting on the scraps of what the Fed is going to throw out to us. Are they going to decide to raise rates to put us into a recession? Are they going to leave rates the same and help the stock market grow? Are they going to lower rates because they think the economy is going to be doing poorly and needs help? And we wait for them, and our finances are impacted because of them. And we have entrusted them with these five things that they haven't done well. And it's just incredible. I was reading, okay, so going into this article in American Thinker, you can check it out. It's actually a pretty old article in 2013 when Obamacare was coming out, which is pretty genius to compare it to the Federal Reserve. It says, and I'm quoting here, inflation did not exist for the first 125 years of the Republic. The purchasing power of $1 in 1789 had declined so slightly by 1913, the consumer would need $1.08 to buy the same thing. 8% inflation. So what you could buy 125 years before that cost a dollar would only cost you $1.08 125 years later. That's incredible. I didn't know that. That is amazing. I think that goes, that break gets broken down to about 0.06% annual inflation. That's insane. All before the Fed. And it looks like the Fed did a really good job, but they didn't exist back then. And then continuing with his quote, what cost $1.08 in 1913 had risen to over $25, or in other words, $1 in 1913 is worth only about 4 cents in 2013. Now, does that sound like stability in the financial system? Is that stable prices? Is that moderate long-term interest rates? That doesn't sound like it to me. In fact, that breaks out in my number, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys. That's 22% annual inflation over, what is it, 100 years? That's a lot of money. That's a big tax on your savings. And this Federal Reserve was supposed to save us from that. It was supposed to end poverty. It was supposed to create stable markets. And we've had anything but. And we've had inflation like we didn't have before we had the Federal Reserve. And we are bound, we are captive to what this group of economists says, what they think, what they decided is best for us. Do we want that as Americans? Does that help us with our freedom? Does that make us more free? Does that make us more dependent or independent? Does that make us more wealthy? I don't know about that. I don't know if we can say that the Federal Reserve has been successful in what they want to do, or even if it's a moral thing at all. Even if they were successful, is it right? I think both of those things are something that we should be considering because it impacts our success. If they ruin our economy, it's really hard to grow our wealth when the whole country is going down. And more so in our country, because where we go, the rest of the world goes. If our economy tanks, everyone else's tanks too, because they're so tied together. It's a lot of power for a small group of people that often get things wrong. And this is another cool thing in the article, just to kind of wrap up. I have one more thing, so I guess this is the one thing before I wrap up. And I didn't know about this either, which I thought was kind of cool. A banknote back then, and I'm quoting again, document issued by a private bank promising to pay the bearer $1 of gold. And he talks about how the dollar was not a value of currency, but it was actually a physical measurement. I didn't know that either. Really fascinating. So check out that article, American Thinker. I'll put the link in the show notes. And I wanted to end with this paragraph comment or quote from them and then a comment. And he says, self-regulation within industries works very well because everyone involved ultimately has an interest in the industry's success. There were bank panics, and there were. There were dislocations within the American economy as a result, but these problems were always self-correcting. The Great Depression came 2 decades after the Federal Reserve System was created. Bank panics did sink poorly run banks, but not banks generally. Man, that sounds like freedom. What America has today, instead of private companies acting with enlightened self-interest, is a vast, largely invisible and almost wholly unaccountable system of manipulators of money supply, interest rates, and banking practices so that the notional wisdom of learned experts, instead of the open operation of market forces, determines our money supply. This money, quote unquote, is no longer in coin or in paper backed by certain defined quantities of gold or silver. Rather, its worth lies only in the opinions and promises of so-called, quote unquote, experts. Faceless bureaucrats and feckless politicians. I read that and say, right on, that our economy is run not by free markets, but by politicians, bureaucrats, economists. Now, it's definitely a hybrid. There are definitely free market principles at play, but we have gone so far from what we started at and what built this country and made us wealthy. And we started swiveling more and more off of our core axis, off of our foundation. And we need to stop just assuming that the Federal Reserve is a good private bank to have run our economy, that it's a good system to have. After reading that, I immediately thought of Israel in the Old Testament and how they wanted a king like everybody else, and the consequences that they got because they had a king. They had to pay taxes. They had to send their sons into battle. And just like that, we asked for a monetary king, the Federal Reserve. And we've dealt with inflation, the consequences. We've dealt with price controls, dealt with depression triggers. And we have unofficial politicians, unelected officials, not politicians, economists, determining our savings, our 401k, our investments. And that is the price that we got for asking for this. I don't think it's too late where we can start turning it around. And I think we should start talking about these things, start educating ourselves, start learning about our history, the true history, and start trying to make a push for freedom again, because it's all related. It's all connected, especially our finances. I hope that was interesting. I hope you learned something new. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me at matthowtobuildatent.com. You can find me on all the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. And we will talk to you next time. God bless.